the things were gone. I worked for all my life, and I had to start again. Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say
well, good morning, Columbia and Greene counties and places beyond. This is WGXC 90.7 FM on your dial, and you're listening to The Right Opinion with your host, Ed Furtick. I want to thank, by the way, Jill Sutton of the afternoon show for letting me stand in for her yesterday. That was a lot of fun, Jill. Thank you. And I hope I can return the favor sometime. Today's show is the first using our slightly new format of a little more talk and less music, because we have so many interesting guests like our guest today. So we're going to talk politics with our guest today, who I hope I pronounce his name right, because I'm having a very tough time with it. He is the town supervisor of Canaan, New York, Richard Keaveney.
You got it right, Ed.
I got it right for the first time, because I might be the only one. Richard's sitting here right next to me. He is the Republican town supervisor of Canaan, New York. And welcome to The Right Opinion and to WGXC, Mr. Supervisor.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I hear this is your first time on radio.
That I can remember.
That you can remember. You would remember it. Trust me. But we're glad to have you here. And I always like to open up with my guests by allowing them to give a short bio of themselves, because a lot of people listening don't live in Columbia County, and even some that do, unfortunately, may not know who you are. So let's get a little bio from you and go from there.
Okay, well, I'm an economics major. I graduated from Boston College and went to New York City to work for J.P. Morgan Chase and then Merrill Lynch, where I managed their balance sheets and their capital and liquidity. My wife and I had a second home up here in Columbia County in Canaan, and one Sunday we decided not to go back to the city and that we were going to spend all our time up here. My wife...
What year was that?
That was 2003.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've been up here full time for about 5 years, 6 years. And we were retired, but we got a little bit bored, and And my wife started a bookkeeping business, and she has a few clients in Massachusetts. And I got very bored, and somebody asked me to run for town supervisor in 2008, and I've been there ever since.
So were you a weekender before you?
We were weekenders for 7 years, yes.
Wow. Now, that's impressive, by the way, because weekenders in general are not always that well received.
No, they aren't.
Columbia
but they
County.
Do spend a lot of money up here.
They do spend a lot of money, and we like that. We like a thriving economy. But, I mean, it's an achievement to go from a weekender to a town supervisor, which
there are many weekenders who do make the transition up here to Columbia County in full time. To then be an outsider, quote unquote, and to become town supervisor, I wouldn't say it's unusual. I think it's beginning to transition a little, particularly with people that have more financial experience. And because that's your main job as a supervisor is chief fiscal officer.
Well, there might be different opinions on that, but I finances are very important. Do you mind telling the listeners a little bit about Canaan, because I'm sure there are people who've never even been there?
Yeah, Canaan is a typical small rural town in Columbia County. Its population is about 1,780 people. It's in the Taconic foothills, so it's about 5 degrees cooler all year round than the city of Hudson is.
That's a reason for me to go there right now.
Yeah, it is, and then things bloom normally 2 weeks later than they do here in Hudson. But very, very quiet town. Very nice town, not too many commercial businesses. About 30% of the homeowners are weekenders or seasonal people.
30%?
About 30%. Mm-hmm. And that's consistent with a lot of the towns on the eastern part of Columbia County. And also here in Hudson, there's a number of people from the city that have come up. But we get a lot of people from Boston as well. So it's a mixture of people. It's larger homes, smaller homes, but it's a beautiful town, and it's nestled right into the foothills.
Yeah, I personally have been there. I could say I have one strong acquaintance there, Joanna Zinga, if you're listening. a shout out to the person I know, the one person I know in Canaan, who's a really nice person. But politically. But this is a political show. Is Canaan split evenly, Democrat, Republican, or is it lopsided in one?
No, the answer is no. Actually, it's more Democratic. A lot more Democrats, I think, registered Democrats than Republicans at this time. Maybe as many as 125 to 150 more. About 75 Independence Party people, about 25 conservatives, and the largest group, which continues to grow, is NOPs, no official party. They're about a third of the voters in Canaan.
I think that's a trend that's happening all over the country.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Very interesting. That can change things dramatically. Well, how you are a Republican?
Yes.
How did you get interested in politics? I know someone. One person asked you to do it, and that one person convinced you, is what you're telling us. But I'm sure it's more complicated than that.
I have to run again this year, but the prior three times that I have run, I have been on every ticket, Republican, conservative, independents, and Democrat.
Okay.
So I have been a choice across the board.
But you're a registered Republican.
I am a registered Republican.
Do you consider yourself having the Republican philosophy? Or
yes, I do.
Okay.
But again, you're talking about a small town where the management of a small town is perceived to be a job that has its its limitations in managing the infrastructure and the finances of the town.
Oh, well, we might get into a little interesting conversation about that later on, because I'm not quite sure I agree with you. But all town supervisors in Columbia County, for those of you who are outside of Columbia County, because not every county is set up the same way, but and please pitch in and correct me whenever I make a mistake. My mistakes are very rare, but you might find
Well, you're
me
talking about how the county is run by
well,
a board of supervisors.
Yeah, I mean, in Columbia County, the town supervisors form the board of supervisors, and
right.
the board of supervisors run the entire county.
Right, and it's out of 57 counties, I think it's one of only nine left that actually their supervisors, the town supervisors, are the legislature at the county.
Which makes it, I think that's terrific.
I think it's a much better connection. If you move one county south in Dutchess, they have a legislature and a county manager. My guess would be there's some disconnect between the supervisors and the county government, which it loses something for the towns.
I would think so. You know, going back to that old slogan, power to the people, to me, you can't really get much closer to power to the people than your typical town supervisor in America. I mean, how much closer can you get? You're walking down the street, people are telling you how they feel, and especially in Columbia County, I think that's probably true more than most other places. So you're not just the supervisor of the sleepy little place called Canaan. Mm-hmm. You are one of the members of the board running Columbia County in general, and you're also the deputy county supervisor, aren't you?
I'm the deputy chairman. One of the deputy chairmen.
Yeah. What does a deputy chairman do?
Well, the board of supervisors. Let's take a step back. Their votes are weighted by their population of their towns, so not everybody has one vote. So Kinderhook, obviously being the largest town, would have a higher weighted vote than Canaan, that has one of the smallest populations. When the Board of Supervisors is elected, then they will caucus. The Democrats and Republicans will caucus, and they will basically elect a chairman of the Board of Supervisors, which happens to be Pat Gratton from Kinderhook right now. That chairman will then appoint one or two deputy chairmen to fill in when that chairman isn't there, and also in my case to help with a lot of the financial issues in the county. So,
but why did you bring up the weighted issue? Canaan, it would be on the low end of the spectrum as far as
right
that
right,
but yet you're the
well.
One
I bring
of the deputy.
I bring it up to just there's. The democracy part of it that I don't get the same weighted vote as
right.
8,000 people in Kinderhook get a bigger weighted vote than 1,700
right.
people.
So when there's something up for a vote in the chamber, what is there, some computer that figures out who, is that right?
They have the weighted votes. The board clerk has all the weighted votes, and those that vote yes and no, they're checked off, and then the computer automatically calculates the weighted vote.
Very interesting. So you could theoretically have a fewer number voting yes than those voting no, but the fewer number of supervisors might have a higher weighted vote, so they win.
Correct.
How do you feel about that?
Well, the majority of the votes normally are the majority of the weighted votes as well. I don't know any vote in the last 5.5 to 6 years that has been controlled by just a few large towns.
Okay. And, you know, what's interesting is that some people argue the system of having two senators for every state. They don't think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think it's fair, but some people don't think it's fair that Texas should have two senators, two U.S. senators, and New Hampshire should have two U.S. senators. But, you know, if you didn't do that, I mean, how many senators would New Hampshire have? Like one quarter of a senator? I believe in states' rights. And I think that having 100 senators representing the 50 states is okay. But I have to think more about this weighted vote thing in Columbia County. I really wasn't that familiar with that.
Well, let me go one step further on yeah. what the supervisors do. Because once they come over to the county, there are about five major committees that supervisors normally get on. Public Works, Public Safety, County Government, I chair Economic Development. There is a lot of other subcommittees. There's the Finance Committee. There are all these issues, and these department heads bring their issues and their staffing requirements and their expense requirements to each one of these committees during the month. The committees will approve them or not approve them, and then they go through a finance committee, which just before the full board, which will make a judgment on all the issues and maybe kick some back to the home committees, what's called the home committee. So every supervisor gets a chance to participate, and most of them are on multiple committees and switch off every other year. So the supervisors get a very, very good education of what's happening from the county government point of view as well.
Okay, and you also, besides getting education from the county government, you also have town committeemen, correct?
The town councils are five people, including the supervisor.
Right. So normally, is that what Canaan has?
Five, yes.
Okay, so you meet with them on a regular basis, and they give you
once a month. Yeah,
once a month. That's the required
board meeting. The
board
town
meeting.
Board meeting.
And what takes place at one of those board meetings?
Well, we do similar things that we do over the county. We approve minutes of prior meetings. We approve the bills, that month's bills for the town. We go through the town's financials. So every board member can understand there's a financial report that's given every board member. We go through any resolutions or motions that we need for that month that we need to pass. If we need to buy a piece of equipment or need to approve hiring somebody, those are done by resolutions and motions. Then the board has a general discussion on issues that they would like to bring up. Then we have a highway report from the highway superintendent. We have a assessor's report. And then we have a public discussion at the end. We open it up to the public for any comments or questions.
Power to the people.
Yeah.
Now, these, legally speaking, the town supervisor position is not a full-time job, is it?
No.
I mean, it's not supposed to be.
It shouldn't be. Some supervisors might make it a full-time
right.
job, but
right.
it shouldn't be. Between both the county and the town, I think my hours range from about, depending on the month, maybe 80 to 100 hours.
A month?
A month.
Okay. And you do get paid for that?
Yeah, course. Not a lot.
Right, right. But... well, you deserve to get paid for 80
Well, some people don't think we deserve to get paid.
Well, those people are low-information voters, I would say.
Well, I'll give you my own example. I make $5,000 at the town level right. and $14,000 at the county level, which is the normal supervisor salary. So it's
yeah.
$19,000 a year. It doesn't come out to that much per hour. It's... But I don't think, as supervisors, we really do it for the money anyway.
Right. I wouldn't think so. But I think it's fair that people get paid for work, especially if you want to attract individuals that might not be able to do it unless there was some kind of compensation involved. It shouldn't be, political office shouldn't be reserved for people who don't need money. Mm-hmm. So anyway, in Canaan itself, and we're gonna get on to bigger issues, but in Canaan itself, and we want people in your town, by the way, to listen to WGXC. So would you mind knocking on some doors and telling people in Canaan about WGXC? Because I suspect that there are people there who don't even know that we are on the air.
Well, I see on your postcard you have a picture of a bear.
Okay.
All right. We have a lot of them in Canaan walking around. I was kind of interested to see it on your postcard over here in Hudson, but I'm sure you have bear in Hudson here too.
Well, please spread the word for us in Canaan. We want people to listen up there, and we do reach up there and way beyond, actually. So you perceive yourself, well, you don't perceive yourself. You are a financial person. Mm-hmm. You are on the financial committee.
Right.
You mentioned earlier that it was your opinion that financial expertise was probably the most important thing you could bring to the right. table. But what are people in Canaan talking about these days? What do they want from you?
What are they? I think they want peace and quiet, which we're giving them. We have got a lot of things done in the town, including just resurrecting an old cemetery that had been abandoned for years. We built buildings, new highway buildings. We're basically keeping the general government, the town, its properties, cemeteries, things like that in very, very good shape. And I think people feel very proud about that, that they can drive through Canaan and see it's just a beautiful little town nestled in the hills.
And I can vouch for that, folks. So take a drive through Canaan. Now you can go through Canaan on the way to West Stockbridge, right?
Yes, West Stockbridge is just across the border.
Yeah, from sort of like very close, actually.
But if you look at every town's comprehensive plan and strategic plan,
right?
The first thing they say is preserve the beauty and bucolic views and the rural characteristics of our towns. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what Columbia County really is.
Well, back to the county, what is your overall view of the health of Columbia County financially as of today?
I think the health is good. I don't think it's as healthy as it used to be, and that's one of the things I've been working on for the chairman, is that things have significantly changed in the last 5 years. And we can start out with the national economy. Everybody's calling the last 5 years the Great Recession.
Yeah, I would think they're right.
And that has a trickle-down impact, not only for private companies, but for municipalities as well. So basically, what the cash reserves the county used to be sitting on at the end of the year back in 2008 was over $20 million. At the end of last year, it was about $5.5 million. So we've used up a lot of cash in the last 5 years, and there's reasons for that. Number one is the recession and its impacts, and we can talk about how it trickles down to accounting.
Well, we will, yeah.
That's the issue, and how do we get that cash back? And what we really need to do is we need to make some adjustments to our budget next year to make sure that we replenish that cash and that we don't have any leakage of this cash anymore. Because one of the things that you're supposed to do in good times, which, you know, the 2003 through 2008 were the good times, the boom, is you're supposed to preserve cash, bring in cash, and then during these recessions, or the Great Recession as we just saw, you begin to release some of that cash. It's called your fund balance. And the reason you release it is because you're beginning to get deficits from certain things that we'll talk about. But also, during these recessions, you do not want to raise taxes. So as you lose other type of revenue, you release your savings account slowly each year. And that's why we are cash depleted. But nobody expected this great recession to be so deep and so long.
I would disagree with that. I think there was an election in 2008, and a lot of people expected uncontrolled spending to take place. Mm-hmm. And that is certainly what happened. But back to Columbia County, folks.
Okay.
We have a. Does a state have a requirement to have reserves at a certain level?
Well, they're now with their stress testing that they're doing. They're now coming up with numbers that they feel you should have, but. For towns, anyway, and I can speak for towns, if you were holding on to too much unassigned cash reserves, they used to get mad at you saying you were ripping off the taxpayers. And they used to say if you were over 20% of your normal operating budget, you had too much. But then they instituted a 2% tax cap. And changed their minds and said, well, maybe it should be higher if you're within 20 or 30% or 35%. Maybe that's not too bad.
But these are guidelines we're talking about.
Yeah, this is the controller's office and the auditors and what they used
for,
to
the
say.
State controller.
Yeah.
Okay, but is there like a law that a county has to have a certain amount of reserves?
No.
So you could spend it all if you wanted to,
yes,
without breaking any laws. And I'm sure there are some people that want to.
Well, there's a lot of counties that go even further than that and borrow tens of millions of dollars.
Right. So at what point during the year is the budget determined for the county?
The budget process starts in August, and it works its way through September and October. There's a preliminary budget, there's a tentative, and then there's the adopted, the same way it is in the towns, and it goes through various stages. The county's budget does not need to be adopted until the middle of December. Towns need to be adopted by the middle of November.
And Columbia County, as a rule, has not spent more money than it has any year in your recollection?
No, and actually, it has spent more money that it's taken in probably in the last 3 years.
It has?
Yes.
Do you have a percentage? Are they spending 5% more than they have?
I would say we were using our fund balance at about $5 to $6 million a year. So we were, let's put it back. When we talk about spending, there's different reasons why we had to use that fund balance.
Well, before we get to the reasons, let's just establish that there is the outgoing is more than the incoming. By what kind of percentage?
We have a $150 million operating budget, so 1%? Less than 1%?
Oh, well, 1%. I'm a conservative. I could live with 1%.
Yeah, but you should be balancing your budget.
Yes, but compared to the federal government, I mean, federals were spending 1% more than they were taking in, I'd be happy.
No, you get away with that at the state level in the federal government, but at our small towns and the county, no.
Right. So the reason for it is there's a lot of unemployment. People are paying less. Tax as far as sales tax, as far as...
Well, let me just tell you what happened to us over the last 5 years, and particularly over the last 3 years. Two of them are revenue items. One is an expense item. All of them having to do with the market crash in 2009 and the real estate market crash that happened as well. The expense item is a tremendous increase in our contribution to the New York State retirement system. We went from $2.6 million in 2009. This year's payment will be $8.2 million because the fund calculates what it needs on a 5-year trailing average, and it picked up a 40 to 50% decrease in the equity markets, and they're allowed to invest in the equity markets. And they have to get it from the taxpayers. If the fund balance, their fund balance goes down, they make it up by law from the taxpayers. So not only the towns, my payment in Canaan has gone from $20,000 to $58,000. The counties has gone from $2.6 million to $8.2 million. So that's almost $6 million increase right there in our budget without increasing any taxes.
So the state is dictating to the counties for this year's budget, this is your contribution to
For your 960 employees, this is your bill. They bill us for it.
For the 960 retired?
No, the current employees.
The current employees.
Current employees.
Okay, and the retired have?
No, we don't. They get benefits from the plan, but we don't make a contribution.
Okay.
For the retirees.
So there's 960 state employees.
Columbia County employees.
Columbia County employees. That's a fair amount.
That's 28% of their salaries.
Right.
And healthcare is 25%.
Right. So, I mean, what can be done about this? That this number is going to grow in the future.
It will probably stay this. It's a trailing average, so it will probably stay the same next year, and then it will begin to turn down again.
By the way, for those who don't know, WGXC is located right next to a railroad track. So what you're hearing now is a very large freight train going by my window, which makes it a little bit hard to pay attention to my guest. But
can I go through the two revenue things?
You can go through the two revenue things, yes.
The first revenue thing is, none of us like our federal government being trillions of dollars of debt. And none of us like our state governments being billions of dollars in debt.
Well, some people don't care.
Well, but it has a trickle-down. It has a trickle-down effect, and it actually hurts the counties and the towns, because we are mandated to do a lot of federal and state programs. Mandated to do them here in the county. We're an extension of the state government, and we do receive federal and state funds for some of these programs. And what's happened is, as the federal government and the state government have cash flow issues, they slow down their payments to the counties and the towns, and they also have been reducing different types of payments that they make for various programs. So they mandate you to do something, and you were getting compensated 60% for that program. Now you're only getting compensated 55% of those expenses. So they can change the rules in the middle of the game.
Wow. Well, this is very interesting stuff. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. But we have a live feed at WGXC.org. For those of you in Texas and Florida and California who want to listen to WGXC, we are here today with, this is The Right Opinion, and I'm your host, Ed Furtick, and we're here today with guest Richard Kiviny, the Canaan Town Supervisor here in Columbia County. And we are going to take a little musical break right now. Richard's going to come back after the break, and we'll talk more about the politics of Columbia County. Before we go, though, I heard some poll results. Can I call you Richard?
Mm-hmm.
I heard some polling results that the popularity of the president has actually dropped to 44%. Mm-hmm. And the most precipitous drop as part of that statistic is in the 20 to 30-year-old crowd. That mm-hmm. Within that crowd, the drop in popularity there's been a 17% drop. I think young people are catching on that things aren't all that great. Well, I'm going to play this song by the association, Enter the Young.
Here they come, yeah.
Well, summer walk and
to being Captain Hiding, climbing up the ladder on my rung.
Into the young, yeah,
yeah, they've learned a thing.
Into the young, yeah,
when you think they think, not only learn to think,
but to care.
Not only learn to think,
but to dare.
Here they come, well, some with questions, some decisions. Here they come, and some with facts and some with visions of a place to multiply without the use of divisions. They'll win a prize that no one's ever won.
Into the young, yeah,
yeah, they've learned a thing.
Into the young, yeah,
when you think they think, not only learn to think,
but to care.
Learn to think,
but to dare. Into the young, into the young. Here they come,
yeah. Well, some are laughing, some are crying. Some are doing, some are trying, some are selling, some are buying, some are living, some are dying, but demanding recognition one by one.
Into the young, yeah,
yeah, you learn the thing.
Into the young, yeah,
more than you think they think.
Not only learn to think, but to care. Not only learn to think, but to dare.
Well, that was Enter the Young by The Association, and we may close out the show later on with another tune by The Association. So we're here at WGXC 90.7 FM with Canaan Town Supervisor Richard Keaveney, and how are you holding out so far?
Great, thanks.
You enjoy being on radio?
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. There's nothing wrong. Well, I wanted to ask you about how do Republicans and Democrats get along in the board of on the Board of Supervisors and in general in Canaan and Columbia County?
I think they at the county level we all have great relationships. We all understand things that are happening in our different towns, and some of the things are unique and. But over at the county, we get along personally very well, and then there are times when issues begin to separate us. But you know, at the town level of government and the county level of government, it's probably not as bad as Washington or Albany. It's you know, the issues
that
are
would be
a little
hard
bit more.
Do.
Yeah, the issue is a little bit more straightforward.
Well, one issue that came up recently, which I think stressed a lot of people out, was Governor Cuomo ramming through the New York SAFE Act, mm-hmm. which so many of us refer to as the UNSAFE Act, regarding mm-hmm. the Second Amendment of the Constitution and our right to bear arms. So how do you, first of all, feel personally about the SAFE Act, and what was going on in behind closed doors when that resolution came up?
Well, personally, how I feel about it, probably like a lot of people, I wish it never happened. It's a piece of legislation that does nothing to. Really, to address the issue that it was supposedly meant for,
making people
well,
safer. Yeah,
yeah, and then basically, you cannot legislate malicious human behavior. You're never going to be able to do that, even with drunk drivers. I mean, they're still going to exist. And you can have as many rules as you want, but what you end up doing with legislation is you end up punishing law-abiding citizens for to try to stop some terrible things that are happening.
Right. Well, the Newtown incident was certainly terrible, and that had repercussions all over America in every county, in Columbia County. But, you know, there are plenty of regulations regarding guns, and a lot of them aren't followed. In fact, the National Rifle Association lobbies to enforce gun laws, which they don't see as being enforced. Now, in the case of Newtown, there was some laws broken there. And this plays to the point of, you know, the point so many people try to convince the left of, is that, you know, criminals don't follow the law.
Well, and laws don't stop certain behavior
right,
from people.
Right.
They punish law-abiding citizens.
Right.
And it's this, you know, you take Columbine or Newtown, you know, they're terrible situations. You take them because there were so many. If you look at drunk drivers, they take tens of thousands of lives a year on the roads in the United States, including many, many children. But they're all separate instances, so we have a tendency not
well,
to focus on.
Well, the difference is people on the left don't want to give up their SUVs or the two or three SUVs that they may have, but they don't want to own a gun and they don't want anyone else to.
Right. But it doesn't cause us to go back to prohibition and outlaw any alcoholic beverage.
Right.
New York State already had some very, very strict gun laws. It threw everybody into disarray and actually detracted many people from focusing on other issues, other important issues as well. And now it's still an issue. It's really an issue with the New York State Supreme Court now. But I don't think governments should be removing rights. They should be bestowing them. And I think this one really
that is well said. What he just said was that what we should have is government for the people and by the people, and government should be about giving people rights, not telling us what rights we have, and especially when it involves things that people in general think are unjust.
Well, I think New York State would have been much better off, like a lot of college programs are doing right now, that are doing studies, putting more money into identifying people that may be at risk in these situations, that are responsible for these situations. Doing a cookie-cutter approach and just telling everybody that has a gun or a certain type of ammunition that they can't have it anymore is it's not the
well,
way
right, do. But you know, you also don't want government. I'm for mental health background checks. I'm okay with that, especially if I feel that it's not being used as a stepping stone to more serious infringements. And very often, I hear people on the left talking about one aspect of gun control which you could agree with on its own merits, but then you realize, hey, what this person really wants is, he doesn't want anyone to have guns, period. And this is just one step on the road, which is why so many people are opposed to any controls at all. But at the time in Columbia County when the county board was voting on a resolution to oppose the Governor's SAFE Act, does the weighted vote count on these resolutions?
Yes, what, yes,
so
it does.
It does. Yes. So, but the resolution passed.
Yes, it did.
Okay, so
The question, if I can back up, Ed, on that, the question there were some comments that it should have been done sooner and that it was delayed. And because it did come up, I think it was 3 days after the law was passed, we had a Columbia County Board of Supervisors, and there was a resolution there, which had just been quickly written.
Right.
And I think both Republicans and Democrats said this is sort of half-baked at this point. We need more time to look at it. And I even think as Republicans, we said, let's not make the same mistake as the governor did, and without public opinion, just pass a resolution like this. So we took another month to get public opinion. We all got public opinion in our towns. We got public opinion at the county level. And we ended up passing, it's a resolution of support. All right. And I think that's what the most counties had done. Now, again, the county does not have any legislative ability to make laws on this subject. It's the state and the federal government. But we did pass it as a measure of support for repeal of the act. And I believe the majority of the supervisors voted for it, including some Democrats.
Okay. Well, let's move away from the SAFE Act for now. I'm sure some people will be happy we're moving away from that topic. And I want to talk about tourism in Columbia County, because I attended a meeting of the Board of Supervisors, and it was Pat Grattan, mm-hmm. the
chairman. Yeah.
Chairman. I believe what he said at the meeting was that tourism in Columbia County is up 17%, right. Whereas in the rest of the Hudson Valley, counties in the Hudson Valley, tourism is down an average of 5%. So that is a huge disparity. So yeah. What do you attribute that to, and what does that mean for our economic vitality here?
Well, I think we have a good strategy. We have a great commissioner in Ken Flood, who's chairman of commissioner of economic development in Columbia County. I actually chair the committee. There are a lot of different things on the table, from agriculture to education to the arts, and bringing people into Columbia County as tourists. That are being worked on. We're supplemented again by the fact that we have one of the best sources of communication in our weekenders that go back to Boston and New York City and Westchester and Long Island and New Jersey and tell everybody what a great place it is, and they bring people up for the weekend, and we have a very, very high concentration of that in Columbia County.
I'm guessing, first of all, that Hudson, the city of Hudson, where we are sitting right now, is driving that tourism boom. I might be wrong, but I think it is the city of Hudson taking advantage of the fact that there's an Amtrak station right in town. You can come up from Manhattan or down from Burlington, Vermont, whatever, or Montreal. And it's a few hours on the train, and you can get off and walk to all the antique shops and restaurants and then get back on the train.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Hamptons used to be the place New York City people went for their getaway place. When I was growing up in New York City, I couldn't really afford to go to hotels there or anything, but it was worth it to drive a couple of hours, even on the Long Island Expressway, mm-hmm. to get out to all the beach areas, Montauk and Fire Island and West Hampton and East Hampton. But the wealthy people are there now, and a normal person can't get any property over there. So that's probably why the New York Times referred to Columbia County as New Hampton, mm-hmm. in an article a few years ago.
Yeah, it's because it's a real getaway.
Right.
And when you spend a lot of your time crammed into an elevator or a subway car or waiting in line or waiting in traffic, which you do in New York City. You can wait your life away in New York City, and that's why they pay so much money for people down there. Or snaking out on the Long Island Expressway to get to the Hamptons, which could take you 3 or 4 hours in a car drive. Coming up to Columbia County, it may be a three-hour drive from New York City. It's actually less from Boston. And really getting here in the middle of the night when you can see the stars and hear the frogs and the coyotes and in the background, it's a much, much different experience. It's your own space.
Well, tying into the tourism theme, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask you, are you familiar with the Harlem Valley Rail Trail?
I'm familiar with it in name, but okay. Not. And I believe it runs through Columbia County, and there's an attempt to revitalize it in some way. That's on a committee I'm not on.
Yeah, well, this really does tie into tourism because the Harlem Valley Rail Trail is one of hundreds of rail trails all over the country now. In fact, a trail is being built from Pennsylvania to Georgia. A number of trails are being connected. It's going to be the bicycle equivalent of the Appalachian Trail. But I don't see enough focus being paid to the Harlem Valley Rail Trail because it is transiting Columbia County from the southern end to the northern end. Mm-hmm. It starts in Wasaic at the Metro North station, which means that you could come by bicycle on Metro North, which does allow bicycles, get on the rail trail right at the station, and ride all the way, eventually, all the way up to Chatham. Mm-hmm. That has to be good for tourism and bringing, and conversely, you could go to Chatham when the trail is complete and ride south. So, you know, I wish things are going along well. I mean, they're already at Copaic Falls. There's going to be an extension soon to the area of Harrington's and Hillsdale. Mm-hmm. And then they're skipping over the Philmont-Claverack section for some reason and going ahead with the Ghent to Chatham section. But the right-of-way already exists. So I hope the town board pays a lot of attention to the Harlem Valley Rail Trail. I think it would be a great thing for the country. Now, we have about 7 minutes to go here. I want to mention a few things, but don't go anywhere, Richard. First of all, the next show is July 10th, and I'll keep you posted as to who the guest might be on July 10th. Richard, you might not know this, but Holly Tanner has been not only a guest on this show once. Holly Tanner is a Columbia County clerk. Mm-hmm. She's been a guest on the show once, and I asked her to actually stand in for me one day as the acting host, and she did a great job. She had a number of guests on all at the same time and juggled that really nicely. But starting August 14th, Holly is going to be taking over the show for about four shows. I believe it's going to be four shows that she's going to do. That's going to be terrific. I thank her for doing it, and she's going to be terrific. So I hope everyone listens into that starting August 14th. And I believe that on August 28th, Congressman Chris Gibson is going to be her guest here on The Right Opinion, sitting where you're sitting. So we hope that that all happens. So do you have any, the mic is yours. Do you want to tell your constituents anything? Do you have anything to say to the listeners?
Just that we're going to keep pushing on things and making sure things happen, that we get our financial house in order, and we continue to improve our community. And sometimes improving it is not changing it at all, but that's basically what we're here for and why we're hired.
Well, I hope you town supervisors as a group get a little more activist and tell our state assemblymen and state senators that we're paying too much tax on our gasoline. I think in New York State it's now 57 cents for every gallon that we're paying in taxes on gasoline.
In
sales tax. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so on 10 gallons, the state is getting $5.70 in tax. That's too high. So see what you can do, Richard. And also, the feds are getting 17 cents on every gallon. So that's $1.70 for every 10 gallons. Mm-hmm. So they're all moaning about the oil companies and the gas stations and everything, and they're getting all this money and not doing anything for it. Well, anyway, Richard Kiviny, thank you for being here on WGXC. We thank you for coming, and we hope to see more of you in the future. I'm sure we'll hear all about you in the newspapers.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Good stuff only.
Okay, thanks.
Well, thank you very much for coming. And now we're going to go to a song to close things out today. Don't forget to tune in on July 10th for my next show. And we're going to go to the Association again. It's such a great group. And close out with that.
Sunrise, sunset, what's born with is what you get. Let your fear just pass away, then your love will fill your days. I know I need so little, yet so much. Sweet laughter, woman's touch. I can't say just what is real. All I know is what I feel. I know. The time it is today, we must find our way. My heart, it clearly states, the answer's not in me. Sunset, what you're born with is